Hi, everyone. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, host of the national podcast Mrs. Green's World, and I'd like to welcome you to our third ever On the Scene show. And I am truly over-the-top excited about both the topic and the guest. So let's start with the guest. About 5 or 6 years ago, I did my first ever interview with two young people who were 10 and 11 at the time. Quite impressive. Their names are Carter and Olivia Reese, and what they were and are doing literally blew me away. They started a nonprofit when they were 7 and 8 called One More Generation in an effort to help educate children and adults about the plight of endangered species. Carter and Olivia's intention is to preserve all species for at least one more generation and beyond. And did I mention they were 7 and 8 when they started this nonprofit? Indeed, I did. Since founding One More Generation, they have traveled all over the world to share their mission. They've spoken at the United Nations. They have shared the stage with Dr. Jane Goodall to receive an award. And the list goes on and on and on. They truly are green rock stars. They are my hope for the future, and I admire and respect the heck out of both of them. And the topic Carter and I will be talking about tonight, today, tomorrow, he and I will be talking about it forever. Straws. We consume 500 million of them in the United States every single day. And I admit to believing that straws are a gateway to consciousness about all matters impacting our planet. If you take the time to stop and think about what it takes to make one single straw, how much water, how much energy, how much packaging, and the impact of shipping one little straw, you might start thinking about what it takes to make, ship, and dispose of other things you consume. Thus, my theory that straws are a gateway to consciousness. Carter's going to be weighing in on the banning and elimination of straws going on in this country. He and his sister Livy started a national movement, of course they did, called One Less Straw, and they continue to raise the consciousness of audiences all over the globe. So stay with me and hear what one articulate, passionate, and purposeful 17-year-old has to say. You'll be happily surprised and duly impressed. Trust me. Hey, everybody. This is Gina Murphy-Darling, and we are on the scene. This is a new format and a new show for Mrs. Green's World. This is our third, and I could not be more excited to have a guest who is, I think, maybe one of the first guests we ever had, and his name is Carter Reese. He is 17 years old, and I say that because it is totally relevant. He and his sister, Olivia, started a nonprofit called One More Generation. He was 9, I think. Carter, were you 9 and Livy was 7? Or, you know, you were old. That's all I know.
I was actually 8 at the time.
Yeah, so set the scene here, folks. This is a young man who is now 17 years old that has been fighting tirelessly for preservation of the planet, for preservation of species. And I think about 3 years ago, they contacted us because they were really participating and launching in a national campaign called One Less Straw. So they went One More Generation, One Less Straw. And I would hope that every consciously living human being in the United States now is aware that straws have become a thing. But we want to dig a little bit deeper today. We want to talk to Carter about why being the co-founder of One More Generation led to this campaign, what's behind it, and why it's really not just about the straw. So, Carter, it's so great to have you back, and I just cannot believe that you're 17, but you are, and I'm dealing with it. So let's talk a little bit about One More Generation was to preserve species so that they would be around for one more generation. And it's not a show about that, but people can find out more about it by visiting your website. But what made you and Livy get behind One Less Straw? What was the impetus behind it? What were you thinking? Why does it matter?
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting story. Like you said, the company was mainly about endangered species when we first started, but then we realized that endangered species relied so much on the environment, and we were polluting the environment with all this plastic trash. So I actually work at Starbucks, and I started realizing that so many different plastic straws were being used, and like I would hand some out and people would drop them and they'd just land on the ground, and they'd ask for another and I'd give it to them. And it was just, I was thinking, this is insane. How many are we using in one day? And so we created a campaign where we decided we were going to go around and ask people to sign a pledge saying that they wouldn't use a plastic straw for 30 days. After doing that, we realized that in the United States alone, we use over 500 million single-use plastic straws every single day, and none of them get recycled. So we've partnered up with over 650 different restaurants around the world, actually, and they've considered to go straw-free. They're wearing a button that we've created that says, "We only serve straws upon request. Ask me why." Now, this button we send out free, so if anyone who's listening is interested, we will give that to you. But the reason why it says that is because people will read that and then ask a question and you get educated. And we believe that education is the number one key to solving any problem. So that was really the first time we'd heard about the issue of, like, you know, plastic straws.
So there's a lot in this conversation because it's really not just about the straws, in my opinion. And I really want to get your read on that. I mean, I am 50 years older than you are, and I love that. I love that we're having the very young, the perspective. You are a world traveler. You have been asked to speak at the United Nations. You have gone literally all over the world, South America, Europe, you name it, to talk about your sustainability initiatives, about preservation of species. So you get around. You've shared an award on the stage with Jane Goodall. So it's not just, you know, I'm very upset about a clip I saw, not to make the show political at all, but someone sent it to me, and somebody else sent it to me, and then somebody else sent it to me. First of all, it was John Stossel on Fox News. And I listened to the clip again right before the show, and they were mocking it and saying, it's like, it's a straw. And here are these left-wing, environmental, tree-hugging, blah, 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 blah. They're making a big deal about a straw. Most of the straws that we consume don't end up in the ocean. So does someone in the middle, you know, in the Midwest drinking a straw should feel guilty that it's going to kill a fish? And to me, why didn't they have me on, or you on, or someone that gets the connection about single-use plastic? So it's much more than just the straw. Can you talk a little bit about what it takes to make a straw and the economic, the environmental impact on that?
Yeah, so plastic is made out of petroleum, which is a fossil fuel. And when you use that, you have to burn it, you have to melt it down, you have to construct it into an actual plastic thing. Now, this actually takes up quite a bit of energy. And let's take, for example, a plastic water bottle. It takes almost a third of the bottle to actually full of petroleum to make the plastic water bottle. Now, if you think about it in straws, it takes up about a quarter of the straw to actually make that straw. And we're using this every single day. Now, since these don't get recycled, they end up in the landfill. Or if you bring it back and people try to melt it down into another type of plastic, that will create a very toxic gas. Now, people talk about the issue of climate change. When you're burning these, this goes into the air and it goes over the ocean at many points because, you know, a lot of this planet is blue and it's the blue planet. So it'll go into the ocean. It'll rain. It'll eventually end up there and it'll create toxicity. And that's where the ocean acidification comes from. A lot of that comes from that and the coral reefs dying and everything. And then it gets hotter. The sea starts to rise because of the melting of the ice caps. And, I mean, there's so many different things that just one plastic straw can do. And nobody really realizes it, that we're using this much energy. And it ends up eventually in our environment to harming these animals or being melted down either from the sun or from man-made causes. So it's just horrible, the things that's happening.
And if you care enough to dumb it down and really dig down into the research, lots of straws do end up in the ocean. They're among the top 10 marine plastic debris found during coastal cleanups. And you know, I want to be able to talk to the TV and have it hear me at times. So our largest populations are on the coast. Doesn't everybody know that? I know that.
Yeah.
You know, there's New York, New Jersey, all of those big, big, high concentrations on the East Coast, Florida, all of those. And then on the West Coast, we have Los Angeles, Seattle. We have all of those that are closer to the ocean, that the rivers flow exactly to the ocean. So, yes, John, I don't want to make this show about John Stossel either. I want it to be educational and not angry. I'm not angry. I'm frustrated because he's just a symbol for the lack of understanding on most people's part about what does a single-use straw really stand for. Is it a gateway to consciousness, as I say? How would you respond to that if I asked you? If people really start thinking about their straw use, will they start thinking about other areas of consumption? What's your opinion?
Oh, of course. We actually are working with Delta right now, Delta Airlines, and we're getting them to commit to go completely plastic straw-free. We actually just got Hilton to do that as well for all their 650 locations. But what I realized when I was working with Delta was that we actually worked at a cafeteria, and we saw that people weren't using straws because we were educating them about that. And we realized that plastic lids were also going away because therefore you no longer need it. And I mean, you could just see a row of all these Coca-Cola bottles, because that's what they're using, cups, I mean, sorry, without lids or straws. I mean, if you start thinking about if you stop using straws, because I mean, what's the point of using a straw? I mean, except for the people who really need it, you don't need a straw. What did we do before straws? I mean, people say, well, I don't want to put my lips to a dirty cup.
Oh,
you're eating off the same. You're eating off the same cup, and it's the same plate that went in the same dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah.
You tend to, I mean, that's not an excuse at all.
No.
But once you start seeing that, you realize that other different things like containers, you don't need that. Plastic bags, you can carry things out. You can get your own reusable bag. Plastic water bottles, get a reusable bottle. I mean, there are so many different single-use items that we do not need as a society, and people, like, rely on it way too much. And I think we need to go back to the times where we didn't have that.
So it's just, it is about being conscious. So straws, they extract resources, oil and gas, and are highly water intensive to make them. So there's an environmental impact that we should all care about. There is quite a bit of data that says straws are ingested by marine animals. I've read so many articles lately, Carter, that say there is plastic in everything because it breaks down into tiny microbeads. You know that, and I know that. So it pollutes the oceans. It is ingested by marine animals. It kills birds. It makes fish sick. And then there's the landfill piece that it's straws, for the most part, cannot be recycled because it gunks up the recycling machines. So between 22, I think, my research says, and 43% of plastic goes to landfills where its resources are wasted. It takes up space and it blights community. I mean, our landfill, as hard as they work on keeping the dust down and the waste contained, it's a landfill. It's a garbage dump. So there's a whole piece of it, and having anyone say that it doesn't make a difference. What do you do? This is, you know me, Carter. You've known me now for like almost 10 years, which is in and of itself scary. What do you do? I read an article where someone posted on a blog or something, oh, great, the poor handicapped that can't, you know, they're handicapped already, and now they're going to have to ask for a straw. How would you respond to that? And I'm not sure how I would, so I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but how would you respond to that for the handicapped?
Well, I totally agree that the handicapped people who really need a straw, by all means, use a straw.
Yes.
But if you're not handicapped, then you don't need it. That's the thing about being handicapped and not being handicapped. There are different things that handicapped people need where we do not, and that's where the word handicapped comes from. And, I mean, for other people to say, oh, they're going to have to ask for a straw, I'm sorry that you're going to have to, that people are going to have to, like, ask for it. But, I mean, we're already at a stage right now where the environment is going downhill faster than we've ever seen. And for us to say that, well, I don't care or I have to ask, it's very kind of low. And I'm not pointing anyone out or anything. I totally agree that handicapped people should be able to use what they need and what they want because that's all they can use. But if you're not, then I'm sorry.
So I agree with you. And it's such a minority of people. And I will use one of my favorite partners in Mrs. Green's World here in Tucson, Arizona. They are member. They were the first member in Tucson after you all contacted me to join the One Less Straw campaign. It's proudly displayed on their sustainability page on their website. The conversation around straws, when I first started partnering with them, began conversations about what else can we do? It's just like you said, what else can we do? So now, instead of plastic bottles in the rooms in the hotel, they have glass bottles from Sedona, which is local for us. It's a glass bottle. It can be recycled. And it's a branding opportunity. They want to be a plastic-free environment. They started changing the kinds of napkins they use, the kind of to-go cups. They were probably on board with their biodegradable to-go containers, but it has led to an entire campaign. And it started because of the massive impact of saying Americans consume 500 million straws a day. So I was in there the other day. They've decided to turn it into an experience. They ordered glass straws with Hotel Congress logo on them. So they're making it fun and hip. I carry my straw wherever I go. It's tiny. It fits in a little straw sleeve. And you know what? I hardly remember to take it out because you don't need it. It was a habit.
Yeah.
It was a habit. So I don't need it. How do you feel about straws being banned? How do you weigh in on that? Do you feel like bans are good or bans are bad or somewhere in the middle?
So I never want to tell anybody what they can and can't do. So therefore, I believe that a ban is not the best solution. Because the second you start telling people what they can and can't do, you're going to get so much pushback than saying, please consider not using a straw. That's right. Why we came up with the buttons. We originally thought, you know, let's do a ban. You know, make it mandatory that no one ever has it. But then we thought, well, that's going to put a lot of pushback. We're not going to get the votes we need. We're not going to get the people who are in charge involved more. And we realized that it was just not the best solution. So what we did was we said, why not come up with something that informs people about it without being in your face? And that's where we came up with the buttons that say, we only serve straws upon request. Ask me why. Therefore, you can ask for a straw, and you therefore, I mean, like, the other people around the table aren't using it. Or if you're the only one using it, maybe hopefully you'll feel guilted and then not using it anymore. And it creates a pattern. It creates a habit. Now, just like you said, of not using that straw. Every restaurant that we've dealt with has had a 70% reduction in plastic straw usage within their first week of partnering with us just by wearing the button. Now, they're spending so much money, a lot of money actually, on these straws that they're bringing in, they're giving out every single day, and it's crazy. So once they reduce that, they get money back, they're saving the money, and hopefully they can go to a sustainable straw so that next time someone asks you for it, you give it to them, and it's paper, and they remember that, and they're like, wow, this is great, and they'll want to come back because of your business and the green part about it. That's my opinion on bans. I never want to tell anybody what to do, just suggest and hopefully educate them enough so that they make their own decision.
Well, our tagline for Mrs. Green's World, as you know, was and is still part of our mantra, and we've been advised to bring it back, is we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. It's kind of along those lines, but here's my issue with that. We have someone that was on our show that started FreeCycle in the world, and there are, you know, hundreds of chapters thousands all over the world. And what Darren told us is when you talk about plastic bag bans, he said there is not one municipality or community in the United States that willingly cut down on their use of plastic bags without a ban or a charge. So I think it begs the question, when you have someone saying that they don't even get it on national TV on one of the most watched networks, I kind of lean to the point where the planet is in such dire shape. Anything pulling us in the right direction, let's get the consciousness up and let's raise it. And no, you can't use a straw, and we're banning it. So I'm going a little radical on this one, Carter.
No, yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. And I mean, I would love to just, you know, I feel like John Stossel just wasn't educated on the issue enough.
But how could he not be? I'm with you. You're 17, and I'm coming through the microphone at you. You are 17, and your sister is 16 or 15 and a half. And
yeah.
I mean, Carter, if you know, how could he not know when he's on national TV to do a little research, a little, about why there is such an uproar about straws? A Google search will give you it. Your screen lights up. So that's my issue. And he said things like, these people are making such a fuss, and it's not going to make a difference, and on and on. He didn't educate himself, which I feel is a responsibility of a newscaster, to do a little bit more digging and find out why, and not have to have you, and I'm not trying to minimize that you're 17. We need more people in the world like you at 17 doing the work you're doing. But does that make sense? It's like, come on, people. Think about it. It has to come from somewhere, and it has to go somewhere, and it's single use. Quickly, I forget how.
Yeah, I know.
The research on it is how many seconds you actually use it. So, you're in favor of just doing everything we can to cut down and to stop using them.
Yeah,
that's fair to say.
Yeah, I totally am. Anything that we can do to, you know, cut it down is the best thing. And, you know, Starbucks just went straw-free, they said, which is, you know, great. I love that they did that. And we commend them for that because, you know, we've been trying for quite some time to get them to do that. And we're glad that they, as a company, decided to go straw-free and realize that this is something that needs to change. The only thing about that, though, is they are coming out with these sippy lids where you can, like, yeah,
there you go.
And I'm thinking to myself while this is happening, what a great solution to this, but what is this coming out of it? What is this new plastic product that they're coming out with? Does it use more plastic than the original plastic straw? Are we getting rid of one problem and bringing in another? I wish we could sit down with them and, you know, talk about this. Because you can't replace one problem with a potentially bigger problem.
Right,
and expect
right.
everyone to agree with it. But, I mean, if you're getting rid of straws, it goes national, international. People are seeing what's happening, and everyone loves them for it. And they don't think about what the next step is.
What the next step is.
Problem is.
I agree. And what Hotel Congress did and a lot of places are doing is going to paper. But the bottom line is people are accepting it. Because it's a habit. And sometimes I go into a restaurant and they put a straw in the water. And I'm like, what in God's name do I need a straw in my water? They don't do it anymore because I say in my mouth, it comes out, club soda with lime, no straw, please. This is a straw-free table. I just say it right out there because I'm conditioned.
Yeah,
but your point about what are we doing next? And I'm sitting here thinking you are 17. You are a critical thinker. And that's what I would expect from somebody. And like, again, it's not just John Stossel. We'd be so lucky if it was just him. But the ignorance, and I don't mean stupidity, the ignorance on his part for not digging into it a little bit deeper when the planet is at such great risk. And to his credit, he said there are much more serious climate change issues, environmental issues. Why are they picking on my straw? So he did acknowledge that there are big issues facing the planet. I want to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
So I think we can wrap up. Everybody knows what this on-the-scene person and that on-the-scene person thinks about using plastic straws and not using them. And that's our plea. And Carter, how do they find out more information about One Less Straw and signing the pledge and One More Generation? Just do a shout out for your websites.
Yeah, so go to onelessstraw.org. It's all spelled out, along with onemoregeneration.org, and that is all spelled out as well. And you can find out how you can get your school on board, how you can get restaurants, You can even just sign yourself up or your friends. So, I mean, please get on board with this because this is the new thing that's going to be changing the world. One plastic item at a time we're trying to get rid of. And, I mean, we are going to eventually change the world, and we can do it with your help.
Yes, and it's all a part of your mission because it will help impact the health of animals and marine life and sea life. It will impact their health and the health of all of us. Is there anything I just have to ask because I'm never finished with you. Is there anything big and exciting you have to tell me that's coming up next or that you just did? Where are you flying to next or where did you just come back from?
So we actually went to London for a few days and then we came back. And right after that, actually the first week of school, we went to Canada. We got invited by the U.S. Embassy to give presentations there. And we actually spoke with Minister McKenna, and she's actually trying to get us involved in another big thing in Paris, part of the G7 meeting.
So we're
hoping to do that.
We just live vicariously through you. Kelly and I watch you, and then we talk to your dad once in a while, and it's like, they're going where? With who? And they're doing what? So keep up the amazing, wonderful, important, and impactful work. And give my love to all of your family, because we certainly are connected.
Yes, thank you, and you too.